Ephesians chapter 2, from the verse 11 to the end of this chapter. Let us read with the help of our Lord. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple, in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, that's the second part of this chapter. Let us take a moment to pray to our Heavenly Father for his guidance, his instruction, and his healing power, that we can walk as he is guiding us. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou art righteous and Thou art just. Thou art merciful, gracious. Thou art patient, and yet Thy judgments are so severe. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, when we look into Thy holy word, when we listen to the voice of Thy Holy Spirit, when we, O Heavenly Father, in our limited understanding and such weakness, living in our flesh, O Lord, try to penetrate more into the depth of Thy wisdom and the heights of Thy revelation, O Lord, we see that we are but the beginners in Thy holy teaching. Lord God Almighty, we pray that Thou give us that true meekness, that we may know, Heavenly Father, that we of ourselves are but nothing, that Thou art all in all. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou art the mighty Creator, Thou art the Almighty Savior, and every good gift, every blessing cometh from Thee, O Lord. Oh, that Thou wouldst soften our hearts and enlighten our minds, that there be no darkness of selfishness, of greed and pride, that there be no worldliness, O Lord, nor influence of the new trend, false liberty, liberty polluted with sin, and that there be no traces or residue of the old past, our old man, a man of sin, O Lord. Oh, that we could sit down at the feet of thy beloved Son and just learn. Help us, O Lord, not to be teachers, help us not to be leaders and, O Father, help us not to judge, lest we be judged ourselves. We pray today, O Lord, not for the meekness that is a short-time investment, looking forward to a quick and high, great reward, but for the true knowledge and understanding that we are nothing, that without Thee, O Father, without Thy great patience and loving kindness, we would be still darkness, that even this holy word of Thine would not mean anything or would mean everything wrong to us. We pray that Thou give us that true understanding. Lord, help us to empty our hearts of ourselves, that there be plenty of room for all that is Thine, Thy holy word, so pure and so holy, so wonderful. Gracious Lord, we acknowledge before Thee that we are not worthy of all these wonderful gifts and blessings of true meekness and humble hearts, unworthy to receive them, unworthy to ask for them. And we have nothing to promise unto Thee, O Lord. We remember the great debtor that fell down before Thee and said, just have patience with me, and I will return everything. I will pay back. How many times we promised and never yet fulfilled. We give room to our enemy to question everything, our best intentions, our desire to be faithful, just because. We allow him to confuse us and to focus on the wrong things, things of the world, things of the self-will. Even in our meekness, O Lord, there is so much pride. And when we desire to be humble, it turns out that we might be boastful. And Lord God, our Heavenly Father, when we pray, we often don't know if we are praying or just demanding. Oh, gracious Lord, we pray that Thou be gracious and merciful, and yet we see that Thou art, and then we quickly forget that and ask and receive not. Heavenly Father, will Thou once again inspire our prayers, that we may pray what is pleasing to Thee and seek that which is honoring Thee, that we may know that our prayers are acceptable unto Thee, that we may see the answer, that we may experience Thy blessings, that we may feel how Thou art. Loving us. O Lord, do Thou Thy miracle and give us Thy healing touch. And choose Thou what Thou wilt give us. Will it be the healing touch to the eyes of the blind that we may see? Or the touch to the ears of the deaf that we may hear? Or the flash of Thy light that we be smitten down to the sand of the desert? Just help us to seek Thy will and to do Thy will, and to worship Thee in life or death, for Thou art worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain since the foundations of this world to receive honor and glory, worship and praise. O Father, may his prayer be pleasing unto Thee, that Thy blessings may flow to fill our hearts and to restore our souls in that true fellowship, glorious, wonderful fellowship that our parents lost and Thy Son has earned for us, just as it was in the first creation. Lord, recreate Thou in us, that we may be not covered with anything that is fake and false, man-made, but that we stand naked before Thee, clothed in innocency and purity, clothed in Thy presence, inwardly and outwardly, that we may hear
and join. The glorious, majestic shout that is around thy throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole universe is filled with thy glory. Amen. Here in the verse 11 we read that we should remember. That we should remember, not forget quickly. If a man hears the word of the Lord, turns away and goes on as it was before, is like a foolish man. He looked in the mirror and saw his face, turned around and forgot. Well, he forgot what his face was, what he saw in that mirror. What does he remember now? Does he have any knowledge, any understanding? What is in his perception? What kind of a face he has? It's certainly not the face that he saw in the mirror. He forgot that. Either that man gives no account to himself what kind of a face he has, or he allowed some other reflections or some other influences to come upon him and create an image in himself that he has not. What is that that we should remember? Here he says that ye being in the time past Gentiles, in the flesh, and were called uncircumcision by those that had religion, that had the scriptures, that had the name of the people of God, and all of that they had in their flesh. Well, how is that in their flesh? Were they going around and displaying their circumcision? I don't think so. It was recorded somewhere in the temple. On the eighth day of his life, this man was circumcised in the witness, in the presence of this and that great priest or high priest or the people renowned as godly people and so on. And that was recorded in the books, and now he's an Israelite. He has that mark on his flesh to remind him that he is one of God's people. Did they remember that? Did they know that? Were they godly people? No. No, they were godless people. They had some form of religion, but they had no substance of the relationship with their Creator and their Redeemer, their Deliverer. But even by them, we were called uncircumcision. We did not have even that. We had nothing, just nothing. They had pretense. They had some form. We had nothing. And now we are not here to be compared with one another, but to see ourselves as we are in the sight of the Lord.
At that time, we were without Christ. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and just godless creatures in this world. Well, now let's stop for a moment and think what these words mean to us. Were we ever like that? Or perhaps these words are not concerning us. Perhaps we always were good people, raised in godly families. Our parents taught us the word of God and the good example, and they disciplined us not to engage in sins and so on, and we were not part of the world ever, and we were never completely aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Since our early childhood, our parents read the word of God, and who are we? Perhaps the things turned around. Are we now the circumcised? Do we have something that we are used to, that we somehow copied? Are we those that are converted to our parents after being a little bit rebellious sometime between 9 and 14 years of age, and then we turn back and get converted to our mom and dad, or whoever was in charge, our guardians, our teachers, and then we make another step and get converted to our church, and finally we are accepted and we give our testimony, and circumcision in the flesh. We have habitual believing the word of God, and we don't have genuine, real faith. Could it be? Could it be? These are just questions. I just wonder and ponder on that. So often I find myself facing such tremendous difficulties in just minimal, tiny humility. Just living in the hands of the Lord, something as unworthless as the rest of this miserable life that I have on earth. I allow my enemy to scare me and to burden me with worries and fears over the things that are worthless. I don't even know if they are going to last until tomorrow. Why is that so? In the second epistle of Peter, we find that word that is the opposite of remembering. Here in Ephesians 2:11, we have the word remember, that is urging us or advising us, asking us to remember. And in 2nd Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 9, we have the word forgotten, the opposite. And he says, he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh, is that what we should remember? But if I don't remember anymore, if I'd forgotten that, did that really happen? Did that really happen? Was that a real experience? Did I truly repent and turn to the Lord as the jailer in Philippi? Or as Lydia, the widow, that said to the disciples, if you truly believed that, if you truly believe that, that I believe that I am really a new creature, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then you come into my household and you live there. You accept my hospitality. You have no reason to think that I won't give it wholeheartedly. If you really believed that I believed in Christ, something changed drastically. Something changed completely. She was truly converted. But then, if she had some bad habits, did that just quickly disappear? Or did the apostle Paul and his companions and fellow laborers, did they have understanding for that and patience and so on? How did that work together in the love of Christ? Do we know what that is? What is the love of Christ? Let not each one think only the what is his own interest, but the needs of the others. The Apostle Peter said that we should give all diligence to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these be in us, and if they abound, if they are not just a shadow, something so thin and see-through that it's not real, it's just an image or some fading picture on a paper, if there is some substance of that, and that abounds, it's growing, it's multiplying. Could we, with the help of the Lord and by the grace of God, think, well, we are still alive in this flesh. We are still in this life. And can we consider this day the beginning of the remaining part of our pilgrimage, and let's see if we can get enrolled in this class of the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ and start with this. Receive the grace that's in Second Epistle of Peter, that same first chapter, verse 2. It says, grace and peace. Let's receive the grace of God and strive for peace, and I pray that it be multiplied. Ask the Lord to give us more knowledge of Himself, and that through that knowledge we may recognize and destroy our own self, so that in us there be the peace and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that be according or in harmony with His divine power. Let's not be so big and so great that even the power of God cannot overpower our self-will. Let us ask Him and call on His name to remove that what perhaps we have created in us, our own perception, our own will, and our own desires, and our focusing so much on what we believe should be done that we don't give any room to the Lord that He would do what is the real blessing for us, and what is His will. Could we stop giving our Heavenly Father prescriptions, what kind of medicine we need, and ask Him to see what the real situation in our heart and mind is, and that He would guide us and really make us His own, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him. Whereby, walking in that direction, laboring for that purpose, thereby we are given exceeding great and precious promises. What? God gave us promises. Did He promise to us that we will be faithful, that we will be patient, that we will be kind, that we will be temperate, that we will be just similar to the Lamb of God? Did He promise that? Why didn't He fulfill that? Is something wrong with His promises? No, no, no. He promised that to the obedient, to those that daily surrender to Him everything, even our fears, even our worries, even our desires, ourselves. That's what He needs. That's what He desires. Imagine, pure and holy God, Almighty God, desires something from me. He is not embarrassed to ask something from me and to ask kindly, and to ask patiently, and He is not tired of coming again and again, that He would eventually get my attention. I don't understand. Perhaps that's the problem. I don't know Him as I should. Exceeding great promises are given and yet not fulfilled. Who prevented them? Who was in the way of fulfillment? What happened? By these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. His nature. I to be a partaker of His nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Did I escape? I noticed earlier that in the countries where there is so-called democracy, like this country, where there is looseness, everyone is allowed to go his own way or her own way, and there is no strict enforcement of basic laws of righteousness and justice and so on. There is a so-called human right
and liberty and so on. I noticed that that is among the believers, among the Christians. Each one has his own rights. Each one is free to do this or that. Each one is what? Worldly. Just worldly. That's it. In the countries where there is oppression, dictatorship, in enforcement of everything, look at the believers. They're just about occultic in their power. The church will decide, or who is the church then? You look, and there is no church. There is a clique, a small group that is dictating, that is imposing their will upon the others. Or one single man has an iron fist, and in the name of God, he's ruling, lording over the others, and deciding even the things that God never intended him to look into, to touch. What is that? Worldliness. It's not only the dust that the Lord Jesus washed off his disciples' feet. It's thick mud. They're wallowing in the mud. Well, that's them. What about us? What happened to us about because of the influence of the world? Are we worldly? What is our thinking? Is there a little thing in the scripture that is not important? God did not really mean it. Or is there a big thing in the Bible that is too big? God cannot ask that from us. Is our meekness such an one that I'm so meek I cannot do the will of God? I'm just a weak man. And so our godliness become a covering for our godlessness. I don't know. I don't really know. I just ask these questions hoping that somebody will join me in thinking, wondering and learning. But if not, well, God's will be done. I'd rather be a Jeremiah all alone than that other one. What was his name? That prophesied victory to King Ahab. Oh yes, it was victory for Satan. But anyway, both Ahab and Satan lost the battle before the Lord. It's the Lord's battle and he is the only victor. Yes, he will triumph. Oh, that he would triumph today in our hearts. That we may also triumph with him every day. And especially on that last great day. Well, I hope you all understand that this is not a prepared sermon. I don't have any guidelines recorded on a paper or any outlines. I just got overwhelmed with the words this morning, the moment I started reading them. So,
I hope it's not my will nor my desire, but the Lord's. And as we read in John's Gospel, that's my prayer for this time that we spend together today around the Word of God, that what is going to be born out of that, or as the result of our being together this moment, that it, my prayer and my hope is that it, whatever it be, that it won't be according to the will of the flesh, or blood, or one man or another, but of the Spirit of the Lord. This verse 5 in Peter's epistle, 2nd epistle, chapter 1 again, says, beside the foregoing, the preceding, promises are given, and then through that promises, we become partakers of the divine nature, we become similar to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow Him, and we just rely on the Father and say, Thy will be done, not mine. And that way, we have a testimony that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is lust? What does that mean in this case? Corruption through lust. Lust is devouring. Pure desire is saving. Cautious, careful, considerate. Lust must have everything right now. A godly desire is patient and is waiting on the Lord. And there are many other differences and many other signs, indications that reveal the nature of some intention and the source of it. And so we may recognize and discern in our heart, is something lust or a godly desire? Are we following the Lord Jesus Christ, or we are crying to Him to follow us? Beside all of that we be giving all diligence means wasting no time on my own will, but the Father's will. When the Lord Jesus Christ received His disciples back after they proclaimed the gospel and performed the miracles and did all that He told them to do and gave them power to do, they came back and they are rejoicing, they're all flying in their attitude, flying high, soaring over the miseries of this life. They say, Lord, even the evil spirits are subject to us in Thy name. They didn't forget His name. They are all subject to Him. And because of His name and His power and His anointing, the spirits are subject to them. And the Lord said, come ye alone, apart, and rest a while. He didn't tell them, well, you really labored as my disciples. Now take a rest and be for a couple of weeks, be Pharisees or Sadducees or whatever is pleasing to you. Just relax and enjoy what they enjoy. No. There is not that kind of a vacation or rest for the Christians. Our rest is in Christ the Lord. So we labor in Him and we rest in Him. We live in Him and hopefully, prayerfully, Lord willing, we die in Him and then His glory and His honor goes on and on eternally. And that's the true happiness, true blessedness. He says here that beside all of that, we give all diligence to add to our faith. Let not our faith be alone, because the faith that is alone is dead. Add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Man, if all of that can be without godliness, then we could wonder what kind of a faith is that in the first place, and what kind of virtue and what kind of knowledge. Well, if there is no godliness, then everything is reversed. Add to our faithlessness, foolishness, ignorance, wrath, excess. All of that is godlessness. But we are asked to do the opposite. To be diligent to add to our faith virtue. Virtue, to exercise, to practice, to train ourselves and to improve our ability to do what is good and right and pleasing the Lord. And to virtue knowledge, to know Him and to know His will. And in that, to be impatient. There was an old book, a story, a comedy that we were taught even in way back there in Yugoslavia. That was part of the school curriculum. And in that book they describe 1 hour, one class of catechism, and the professor is teaching the disciples, the students, and they are kind of junior high school, approximately that age. And he asked one with a stern voice, he said, what are the basic qualities and virtues of God? And he comes closer to this student, and the student is just about shivering, and even if he knew anything, he forgot everything that moment. And the professor is looking at him so threatening, you know, and the student is just deaf, nothing comes out. And then the professor smacked him across the face and he said, mercy! That's how they taught catechism. Well, sometimes I wonder if we get distracted in the similar way of the worldliness. If we get so eager to do the will of God that we prevent it. We try to enforce something that can be done only by loving kindness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Imagine if those four that brought the man that was quadriplegic, that was paralyzed on his stretcher, if they brought him to that point, and then they dropped him down and say, if you want healing, you jump and run into that house. The healer is right there, surrounded by Pharisees and Sadducees and so on. Their job would have been totally incomplete. Actually, they would have destroyed everything that they were building until that point. But they came to such an obstacle that they could not overcome, and they did something so extraordinary, unusual. They destroyed the house, even though the Lord Jesus, I mean, in part, not all the way, but they made certainly some damage, I think, when they broke through the roof to get down. Even though the Lord Jesus was there inside, you see, their faith was not hypocritical, nor Gentile, nor worldly. They didn't say, well, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in that building, that this whole building is so holy, you may not touch it. No, they broke the building. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. We want Him, not the building itself. We don't want anything man-made to be in the way. And if it's in the way, let's destroy it. That was wonderful faith, and the Lord Savior Jesus Christ said so. He really gave testimony by His words and His actions that that is the faith that He has planted into their hearts. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, and charity. Charity. If these things be in you, even just something of these gifts be in us, they will work, they will grow. But if they abound, we won't be barren, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that will not necessarily be demonstrated and manifested in our reaching out and converting thousands. If that be the will of the Lord, He can do it. But that's not yet the proof of true relationship with the Lord and true conversion. That proof must be inside and outside, in our life, in our manners, in our behavior, in our intentions, and in our performance. And in all of that, we are very imperfect. We lack so much, and we need so much more, and we are far from what we should be, and then we are close to Him. But the moment we know exactly how much everyone else should improve, and how everything would be wonderful if they would do it exactly the way I asked them to do it, we lost the battle. Well, I think I lost plenty of time. Back to this chapter 2. Yes, we were far away from the Lord. Verse 13 in Ephesians 2 says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He gave us so much, and He did so much for us, and He accepted us, and then He continued working on us. He didn't work to change our life until that moment that He called us His own and gave us the testimony that we are His own, and then let us alone. No. No, He gave us peace. But in that peace, it was not the peace that we find in the memorial parks. You know, everything is quiet. Those dead bodies will not talk, utter the least voice, nothing. Not that kind of a peace. It's peace of relying on the Lord and waiting on Him and just let His will be done. And when we say His will be done, we don't turn away and leave. No, we do His will. He has broken down the middle wall of partition. He is our peace, who hath made both in one. You see, now there is no difference between those that were saved before the coming of the Lord Jesus, His teaching, his suffering, his death and resurrection, and his ascension, there is no difference between Abel, Enoch, Noah, Samuel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the others that were faithful, and the least one of those that believe in Christ today. There is no difference. There is one fellowship, and we all belong to that one mother, heavenly Jerusalem. Let us not allow our feet to step into the mud of the world, but let us walk on that pure and holy path of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can see it, can't we? It's still marked with those red spots. That's the blood of the Lamb of God. Can we see that? If we don't see that on our path, we are on the wrong path. It's an awful thing. Let's run back and look for that pathway that is marked with the blood of the Lamb. That's the only one. There is no other. Look at our building of faith. Do we see the foundations? Is it founded on that rock of ages, cleft for me? Is that the one that is despised and rejected in the world, that the builders have cast away? Did that rock really crush my old man of sin? Am I a newborn child of the Lord? If not, if something is forgotten, if so much is lost, then how dare I wait for the next moment? I might not be here anymore. We have no promise of any change, any repentance, any salvation on the other side. He came and preached peace to us which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And those that were with him before he came in the flesh, they rejoiced when they saw him coming in the flesh. We remember Simeon in the temple holding the baby. And he looks up to the Father because he saw the face of the Father in the face of this baby. Let thy servant depart in peace. That's his peace. The Savior is here. Such a wonderful peace. Such a glorious peace. Through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We need not be strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. See, they're together. We want to be together with them, don't we? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. No, they didn't build each one their own temple, cathedral, kingdom, fortress. No, no. like living stones, they were built up into that one building. The Church of Christ, scattered and yet united. A habitation of God through His Spirit, united in His Spirit. His will be done. His kingdom come. For His is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.